The views expressed are those of the author as of the date noted, are subject to change based on market and other various conditions, are not a solicitation to purchase or sell any security, and may not reflect the views of United Planners Financial Services. Keep in mind that current and historical facts may not be indicative of future results.
Hi, I'm Angie Nelson. Welcome to KIOW and Bradford's Money Outlook. Join us as we find out what big things are happening at Bradford. Today we have Shallon Weiss and Jared Raymond from the Bradford Financial Center in Clarion and Garner with me to talk about the shortage.
Well, we are still short. First, more than 2 years ago, it was the toilet paper, then the semiconductors, and the lumber, and then this year, the baby formula. But now, as winter settles in across America and children are getting sick all over the place, the U.S. is suddenly short of commonly used antibiotics. A scarcity of liquid amoxicillin in particular, that pink fruit-flavored stuff that's a first-line treatment for pediatric illnesses like strep throat and ear infections, has many parents across the country frightened. The reason for the shortage? Well, it's a familiar post-pandemic story. Increased demand and limited supply. It's not officially winter yet, but it's cold in many parts of the country. Kids are getting sick like they always have. Of particular note is the respiratory virus RSV that seems to be more prominent than usual, maybe because kids built up less immunity in the past few years while wearing masks and distancing.
Yes, I was afraid of that. But still, I'm disheartened that U.S. pharmaceutical companies and our giant healthcare system, which makes up 20% of the economy, can't supply American children with the simple antibiotics that have been around for a century. How long has the Biden administration been allowing this to go on?
Well, doctors and pharmacists have been talking about antibiotic shortages for about a month now. We know that some folks disagree with how we use antibiotics in modern medicine, but the point today is, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the country has a shortage of a basic life-saving medicine. It's not because American companies and scientists don't know how to make this stuff. The problem echoes a familiar theme. The critical ingredients for the products, or the products themselves, come from somewhere else, where they've typically been cheaper to source or make over the years. The largest producer of these cheap, effective medicines, which hundreds of millions of Americans and billions around the world rely on to stay healthy, probably doesn't come as a surprise. It's China. But what might surprise you is how quickly the U.S. became dependent on the world's second largest economy for this medicine. We take it for granted as always being there, like microchips or wood or toilet paper. As recently as 2008, every U.S. administered dose of amoxicillin was produced in the United States. But by 2019, the U.S. Commerce Department reported that 80% of the supply of U.S. antibiotics came from China.
Well then, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see how a few tanker ships being delayed at port or any kind of supply chain breakdown can end up resulting in a cascade of effects. The question I have is, why do we continue to rely so much on a country ruled by a communist party that doesn't seem to have our best interests in mind?
Of course, amoxicillin isn't the most profitable drug. A 7-day course usually sells for less than $5, meaning there's not a ton of incentive for companies to invest in its production. That makes business sense, sure. But we have seen the compounding costs of the fragile global supply chain for the past 2+ years. Things can be made cheaper in the short run, at least. But anytime supply falls out of America's hands, any number of reasons, like China's zero COVID policy, or war, or anything else, can make them all more expensive in the longer term. The cost can be in higher prices, or the emotional wreck for scared parents and sick kids. Or if it's supplies of something else like oil or natural gas, we could face cold homes as we get into the heart of winter. I'm no isolationist, but it makes too much sense to take care of home first. Some people actually tried a few years ago. In 2020, the old filmmaking company Kodak, quote, got a sweetheart deal to be the manufacturer of amoxicillin. You might remember this story. Insiders at Kodak traded ahead of the news breaking that it was getting a $765 million government loan to start making pharmaceutical products, and the story became one of insider trading instead of the iconic American brand reinventing itself. In the ensuing blowback, Kodak, with no drug manufacturing experience, then lost the government contract. Then something about COVID took center stage. It seemed an outlandish change at the time, a former film company making drugs. But looking back, it might have been good if it had happened.
Yeah, maybe we wouldn't have this shortage right right now.
Well, the good news is that some help is on the way. Almost exactly 1 year ago, Jackson Healthcare, a privately held staffing and tech company in the industry, announced plans to reopen the one and only facility in the nation licensed to make amoxicillin. The Tennessee-based facility, run by U.S. Antibiotics, went bankrupt in 2020 in the throes of the pandemic, even as some employees, knowing the place's importance, worked without pay to keep the plant operational. In April of 21, Jackson Healthcare acquired U.S. Antibiotics, putting the company under American ownership for the first time in its 43-year history. And last November, it announced plans to reopen the facility. And that sounds good. You know, one facility to meet 100% of the demand, and Jackson Healthcare said it plans to eventually stockpile 5 years' worth of demand. This doesn't seem to be the reality at the moment just yet, though. Dealing with worried parents and sick children, doctors and pharmacists in a bind right now are suggesting kids take a general antibiotic as an alternative, the path of least resistance, which ironically could lead to more resistance to antibiotics in the future.
Yes, and sometimes I think that's the intention.
The broader point is, for all the problems, these sorts of shortages represent an opportunity to reshore manufacturing of all kinds of goods in the U.S. This would mean more supply and new jobs tied to tangible value, and to top it all off, potentially less inflation. The Federal Reserve can do whatever it wants to crush demand in the economy, but it's not going to wipe the need for drugs to treat infections off the planet. Healthcare products will be needed so long as people want to stay alive. Admittedly, though, price isn't the big issue with generic drugs like amoxicillin. But for more expensive items, the influence of supply on prices compounds at a greater pace every time there is a delay or shortage. Each case is a missed opportunity to make something in the U.S.
If people have questions about our discussion today to help in managing their wealth journey, what should they do?
For a free consultation to help you manage your wealth journey, contact one of us today at BradfordFinancialCenter.com or call 515-532-6661 or toll free at 1-800-348-4419.
Thank you, Shallon and Jared, for being with us today. Join us again next Tuesday at 9:10 for Bradford's Money Outlook to find out what big things are happening at Bradford. You can also find Bradford's weekly conversations on our website at KIOW.com. I'm Angie Nelson for KIOW.
Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Bradford Financial Center, a registered investment advisor. Insurance services offered through Bradford Insurance. Tax and accounting services offered through Bradford Tax and Accounting Network. Bradford Financial Center, Bradford Insurance, and Bradford Tax and Accounting Network are not affiliated with United Planners. Neither Bradford Financial Center nor United Planners provide tax or legal advice. This is meant for educational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to take a particular course of action. Indexes referenced are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.